Hello and a warm welcome to this week's episode of the PPC Chat Roundup. In today's episode, we have Julie taking us on a very timely topic for this time of the year. We are talking about our PPC holiday wish list. And as you can imagine, after all the updates that we've had this year and even in past years, there's some things that in terms of like updates that Google have done and some of the other platforms that we wish that they didn't do, or some things that, you know, they failed to update on and we thought that they would have done that by now. So yeah, with us being literally only having one more working week before Christmas, we thought, yeah, let's think about what we'd wish from Google and the different platforms and our clients and just the industry in general, I'm sure. So hope you enjoy and, you know, I hope you find some familiarity in some of the wishes that we express today. All right, enjoy. Hello and a warm welcome to this week's episode of the PPC Chat Roundup, a podcast where I round up the Slack discussion that happens on Tuesdays at 5 p.m. GMT. I'm your host Anu and I'm recording from my studio here in London, UK, and I use this platform to share not just expert but also my ideas and considered best practices about paid media and the direction the digital industry is going in. So if you want to keep up to date with my tips and tricks in the industry and get the latest on this podcast, which has been called your go-to if you don't make it to the PPC Chat live discussions, and even if you do, then like, follow, share and retweet, that's right, on Twitter and Threads. So repost on you know, check out my repost and post on Threads on the handle at The Marketing Anu, or join us on our LinkedIn group, which is the PPC Chat Roundup. Or if you're on Instagram, why don't you check us out at PPC Chat _Roundup to get quotes and snippets from previous episodes. So today we are going to be talking about the wish list, things that we wish from platforms, things that we wish from our clients and you know, partners, stakeholders that we work with, and things that we wish in general from the PPC industry. And just to pre-warn you, those are going to be the three pillars. So we're going to have three questions, loads of answers given for all those questions. So yeah, lots to discuss about and loads of wishes that we have in the room today. But before we get to the questions, just to remind us all that this chat is intended for PPC professionals of all levels. And if you have something you want to share, please do. So get on our Slack, join the Slack group, join the Slack channels to share your ideas about what we talk about in this PPC chat environment. We're a friendly and supportive community, so don't be afraid to participate. But obviously, if you do just want to sit back and enjoy and listen to an episode of us talking about the paid search industry and giving you tips and guides on how to do your work better, thank you for joining us on this episode. So let's get on to the questions. And as we said, three of the main bullet points that we're going to be talking about. And the first of them is, as given from Julie, what is on your holiday wish list for PPC platforms? So yeah, Julia goes, starts us off with Julia Vise, that's it. She goes, I mean, search terms, exact match, starting to, you know, match things exactly. I'd love more accurate audience numbers on Meta. I'd like more transparency in ad disapprovals from the policy team too. She, Melissa as well continues, and another big shout out to Melissa because she did a roundup about her best ways to get involved in the paid search industry. She mentioned the podcast, this podcast. She also mentioned the PPC Live events, and you'll hear me more saying PPC Live, and that's all I'm going to say for now. But just look out for that we're going to be doing some, you know, changes, meaning that we're going to be really known only as PPC Live. But look out for that. So yeah, go and check us. Search for PPC Live on Search Engine Land, and you'll hear what she has to say about us. And it was very heartwarming to see what Melissa was saying about us. Going back to the chat today, Melissa goes, more transparency. That's her wish from the platforms. Of course, we're headed in the opposite direction, but a girl can dream, right? Well, that's why it's called a wish. Julie goes, yeah, for Google Ads, make exact match exact again. That should be on a t-shirt, hoodie, hat, USB stick, all of that, all the swag that we get. Make exact match exact again. Let me see all the queries, some actual suggestions for accounts with low conversion volumes to use automated bidding, remembering that B2B exists, right? Like creating updates, creating tools that actually really do help B2B. That is Julie's wish. Peter Bowen goes, I wish Google would work for the benefit of their advertisers and users. Alex Nicole says all of this, and then also maybe not manipulating the auction for the sole purpose of meeting revenue goals. Yeah, that whole DOJ and that's the Department of Justice bringing Google in for some questioning chat there. Reva Minkoff goes, better support from Google. I wish they would go back to agency level reps who help us grow our businesses and support our book of business. Absolutely. Melissa goes, agree with Alex Nicole, who said, yeah, all of this and also not manipulating the auction. Melissa goes, agree. Less cushion shaking would be nice, right? Julie goes, yeah, support in general of all the from all the platforms, Reva. So good support. That's in reference to Reva saying that she'd rather better support from Google platform. She continues, as in Julie continues, it is absolutely wild to me that they provide so little actual support to paying customers. Reva goes, 100%. It's so frustrating to feel like you need support and have legitimate questions or have found bugs and not be able to get it. Julie goes, getting better support from your cable provider than you do from an ad platform is really something, right? Kyle Taylor goes, if I could just see all of my search queries again, I would be so happy. Julie goes, oh, one more for Google Ads. Stop matching competitors to other brands. Yeah, that has been mentioned quite a few times. Julie continues, if we want to run competitor campaigns, that is a strategic decision. Alex Nicole goes, I don't even necessarily need exact match to be exact. I would just like it if close variants were actually close variants. So even what they count as close variants is not the actual deal of what we'd expect, is it? Julie goes, oh, how our standards have lowered, eh, Alex? And she continues, how about no more using AI and machine learning interchangeably and not calling every automated thing AI? Kyle Taylor goes 100% with Alex. I'm fine with matching to misspellings most of the time, but I'm sick of bidding on a software or platform keyword and Google matches to things that explicitly do not have that word or intent. A PDF or template is not a platform, Google. Oh, wow. That's interesting. Kyle Taylor as well continues saying that, yeah, AI is the current buzzword, just like blockchain was back in 2021. And yeah, Julie says, response to Kyle, they say, I had a client that had an airport code as part of their brand name. They were not in aviation or travel, and we got matches for airport stuff all the time. Peter Bowen goes, it feels like if they could just go back 5 years in how they determined intent, we'd be okay. Reva Minkoff goes, I'd like to feel like they still care about intent versus just trying to make more money. Julie goes, yeah, it's funny in a laugh so that you don't cry type of way. So again, so in response to Peter Bowen, Julie goes, it is funny in a laugh so that you don't cry type of way that they tout, we know so much that you don't, so let us just take the reins, and yet they will match milk chocolate and chocolate milk as if they are the same thing. Yeah, that was the first example that I thought to myself, even though close variants will pull that in, those are not the same intent at all. Peter Bowen as well says, intent matching is worse than it has ever been in my experiment. I think it's because they have to sell the subprime and ad inventory. Aaron Cohn as well gives his wish list, saying for Google Ads, give us more information about the effect of negative keywords, including showing us the impact of an individual negative keyword. 2, regular expressions for negative keywords so we can block searches that match a certain pattern. 3, it would be helpful or time-saving to let us use AI or Bard to query for reports and insights, kind of like the way you can use bard.google.com to query your Gmail right now, but make it actually work so that information could be presented to clients. Peter Boingo is, I'll take chocolate milk or milk chocolate anytime. Travis Bichel responds to his short list. He gives us 4 of them. 1, unified reporting, either sync all campaigns types within Insights or allows the table plus chart view to function for PMax. 2, enhanced ROAS bidding, allow for COGS 2, so that's cost of goods sold, to feed back into the calculation from a given CMS. Clarify conversion counting, and this is 3, clarify conversion counting. Either have GA4 use platform counting or vice versa. 4, impression share for PMAX. Click share is nice, but impression share would also help determine if there is more room to push into search or shopping inventory within this campaign type. Mackenzie responds saying, I wish they would be more clear about new feature rollout than that you are automatically opted into. I know these things are strategically buried, but it is so incredibly frustrating. Then this, coupled with the removal of agency types, always makes you feel like you're missing something a client could find in a live search first. Peter Bowen goes, I wish they'd have people who know what they're doing write their support docs. So yeah, so he wishes that they have people who know what they're doing write the support docs. Actually, I read a page on Google's official support site today that suggested adding friction to the conversion process to increase lead quality. I'm not sure what they mean by friction there. So those are our wish lists for the likes of Google especially, but mainly for the PPC platforms. Now we go to our wish lists for clients and stakeholders. And yeah, Julie asks, what is on your holiday wish list for PPC clients or stakeholders? What do you wish they knew or did or stopped doing especially? I'd always say, yeah, stopped doing especially is a big one. And this one got the most responses actually, so be warned of that. Peter Bowen goes, please stop listening to your nephew or neighbor or guy at the pub who had an idea about Google Ads, right? Melissa goes, that every client was willing and able to import conversions from their CRM into Google Ads. There are so many technicals and client side hustlers, side hurdles to this currently. She continues, also stop logging into your Google Ads account and freaking out about single day performance shifts. Absolutely. Kyle Taylor goes, I wish leadership didn't write ad copy like it was 2005. Not every ad needs a generic CTA like click here to learn more. Resonating and empathizing with customer pain points can be just as effective, if not more so. Travis Bierschel responds saying, for me, it always comes down to understanding business maths these days. So few do, but it's a relatively simple concept. If your desired margin is X percent, you retail at Y dollars, or your AOV is Y dollars, and your unit level costs of goods or deliveries Z dollars, how much can you afford to pay to acquire a new customer? Does that change with lifetime value over 60 days or 1 year? That's a very interesting concept. And Travis has been doing a lot of that, just giving us some really nice deep concepts about what we're talking about, instead whilst the rest of us are just doing a little bit of a rant. Julie responds as well, saying, getting outside tunnel vision, everyone is our customer, or we don't really have competitors, because, and understand the actual digital competitive landscape. So get out of the tunnel vision and understand the actual digital competitive landscape. People are not going to be so blown away by your ad that they only look at your site 99% of the time. You have to know that you're up against craft compelling offers. Melissa goes, I had a client tell me recently that they didn't believe in seasonality. Oh my Lord. And I imagine it's one of those clients where like the products are really actually weather dependent. You're definitely going to advertise in a different way at different times of year, like things like, let's say, ice cream. That would definitely have seasonality, because nobody would be eating a lot of ice cream, I imagine, in the wintertime. It will all be about the pies, the hot pies. That's for me anyway. So Kyle Taylor as well goes, the opposite can be just as bad. What are our competitors doing? Let's do exactly that. Yeah, don't do that. Julie as well says, Julie responds to that saying, yes, Kyle, definitely have to have. You can't assume that what your competitors are doing is successful as part of the conversation. Julie as well continues saying, I wish clients sometimes had more curiosity about how people view the product or service they offer. Yes, do some more interviews. I've reached out to audience members to ask them for us to have like a quick half an hour chat. Maybe I should reduce that to 15 minutes. Maybe that'll get more responses. To know about what they think about our brand, about PPC Live, and what we should be doing Furthermore, I am not the customer. I am not the person that knows exactly what they want anymore. Maybe when I was visiting Brighton SEO, I was, in terms of PPC Live UK. I am not. She continues, clients can sometimes have very rigid ideas that keep them from growing. It's frustrating. Alex Nicole goes, I try to tell some of my clients in a nice way that only doing SEM is not a viable long-term marketing strategy. I can't create people searching for you. I also echo the you can't assume that what your competitors are doing is successful. Finally, I go a little crazy when a client asks about benchmark data. I'm a pretty big proponent of the benchmark being past campaign performance, and seeing that improve over time means our benchmark is improving as well. That comes with time and consistency. And yeah, Julie responds to Alex there saying search advertising captures demand. It does not generate it. So I agree that brands need to invest in both demand capture and demand generation. And Alex goes, yeah, I should add, in all fairness, I understand why they are asking the benchmark question. I can pull benchmarks from WordStream or something. I just think the best benchmark is past performance. Absolutely. Continue to try to improve on what you've been doing before. Don't do too much comparison in terms of what the market says that you should be doing or how well you should be doing. You know, take that into consideration, but take it all of those with a pinch of salt. Travis as well says, great minds. I tweeted about my frustration with benchmarks a while back. Julie goes, yeah, to Alex as well. I think the benchmark question comes from a place of wanting to know if they are in the right ballpark with spend, CPCs, conversions, etc. So I get the reasoning behind the ask, but I agree with you that the better question than how are we doing relative to other brands is how can we continue to improve our performance? Absolutely. And yeah, and Alex goes, you couldn't have said it better. And Julie goes, for those not on Twitter, here is Travis Bichel's tweet reference above, and he shows a picture of it, and I'll share that in the show notes as well. And then Julie as well says, can I just have bigger budgets, please? Yeah, isn't that the age-old question? Kyle Taylor goes, yeah, to Alex going, when I came in-house and took over the former agency's account, I explicitly told my bosses that our LinkedIn account is going to see lower CTR and higher CPMs because the targeting and campaign settings were going to be so different. Alex goes to Julia Vice, yeah, for 2024, I'm trying to get my biggest and most successful clients to have a budget set aside specifically for testing. I'm essentially saying we have a solid foundation. Now let's try new stuff and see what works. My goal is that setting a budget aside for testing will provide less pressure on me to have the test platforms as well as the foundational stuff. And if it works, then we can add it to our foundational strategy. Kyle goes, yeah, I had to tell them for basically the first few months, it's apples to oranges, and the only thing to compare was the conversions I was optimizing for moving forward and overall business performance. And I think that's still talking about the whole benchmarking and trying to improve instead of compare. And Kyle Taylor as well says, because they initially wanted to benchmark my new campaigns against the old ones. Yeah, still on the benchmarking talk. What do you guys think of benchmarking? Do you see that in the same way? Look at it with your clients as something to know what your ballpark performance should be, but not something that you're stringent on in terms of daily increases here and there. Always trying to improve on yourself. Alex Nicole as well says, I think that's a good conversation to have. My experience is almost solely Google Ads, but I've had the conversation many a times that CTR and CPC don't matter as much if our CVR and CPA are improving. It just means we're getting the right people to the landing page. Travis goes, I couldn't agree more. CVR and CPA should be the guiding lights. And Julie as well says, and if what you've been selling could legit be searched for by audiences you don't want clicking, think enterprise solution also gets non-enterprise searches, or biz solution gets consumer searches. Then sometimes you want to have lower CTRs to get higher conversion rates. I'm sure we have all explained this to at some point. And Kyle goes, honestly, even the CPO CVR conversation needs some nuance. Kyle continues that if you switch from optimizing from top of funnel lead gen to more bottom of funnel sales contact requests, you're going to see lower CVR and higher CPA, but it offsets by higher quality. Peter goes, yeah, I prefer not to have a CPA or CVR conversation and focus on the value of the leads. How much did we make in sales versus how much did we spend? I think the clients have little to gain by getting into the internal metrics in an ad account. Travis as well says, I don't see this as much of a nuance as different objectives that don't warrant the same comparison metrics. Cal Taylor goes, I wish it were that easy. My senior director still asks me about our cost per lead, and when I'm not optimizing for high volume lead gen, it's frustrating. Travis as well then continues saying that, yeah, a lead's conversation is certainly a different ball game than e-com. Measuring cost per outcome, though, is a basic tenet of the money in, money out trade-off of advertising. Unless you can modify or manipulate an advertising strategy based on lead quality, CPA remains valuable. Melissa goes, I agree. It's very difficult to get lead value into Google Ads because you often don't know the value until many months later, until sales feeds that back to you, right? Until sales goes, yeah, that leads that you brought us through did lead into a $100,000 sale as opposed to another lead that led into a £10,000 sale. So it's about sales feeding that back about what that quality of that lead was. And yeah, with some of the silos that still happen, I'm not surprised that still happens. Peter Bowen goes, I agree that CPA is valuable, but it's a metric I prefer not to discuss when we have more downstream information available. Last thing I want is clients getting frothy about getting cheaper leads. Noah responds, expecting me to advertise nationwide with a budget of $1,500. So yeah, that the wish list of of Noah in regards to clients and stakeholders. And to our last point of this chat, the last pillar of this talk in terms of our wish list, we're going to talk about wish lists for the PPC industry. Julie takes us off saying, yeah, one of my wishes is that we can keep this community strong outside of Twitter. I appreciate you all being active in our channels. So that's amazing. Julia Vice goes, ooh, I say stronger communities and selfishly more events in Canada or at least north enough that we can actually meet. Julie goes, I also want to hear more points of view. Love our well-known experts, but I know there are so many smarties out there who we need to hear from. Travis goes, I think live roundtable discussions are invaluable. They are an entertaining, informative, informative format, and they can bring together different point of views. Anyone can shout from a rooftop, but not all can engage in disciplined discussion. Absolutely. Melissa goes, I wish for a time machine so we could go back and keep you know who from buying and wrecking Twitter, right? Oh God, totally agree with that one. Julie goes, I have been thinking about doing some interviews in 2024 too of different experts. Might be audio, might be posts. Kyle goes, yeah, in response to Melissa McKee saying, yeah, but we have so much free speech now. Yeah, with rolled eye emoji. Alex Nicole goes, I always aspire to be more involved in the communities. It's hard to carve out the time. I always appreciate it when I can make it though. And yeah, Julie goes, I appreciate you. And we always just appreciate Julie for taking us through another year of regularly hosting these chats. Travis Beerschel as well say, tongue in cheek, we wish we retire PPC from our vernacular. We retire PPC. Okay. So he goes, kidding. I appreciate the name equity the community has earned. Yeah, it's all about PPC chat here, Travis. What would you like to change it to? Paid search chat? Paid media chat? Julie goes, yeah, listen, I paid trademark PPC chat, so we are riding it forever. Hilarious. Robert Brady goes, if you want to keep the group vibrant, invite people to join and attend. And yeah, Julie goes, yeah, I'm sending out regular messages on all the platforms to get people to join and attend the chats. And everyone spreading the word helps too. So yeah, so that last one is just basically about how do we continue to keep this, you know, PPC chat community alive. We love the community. Yeah, join in the PPC chat Slack conversations weekly. Even if you come right after the chat has happened, it's very easy to track what the questions are and to, you know, give in your answer in the thread so that people know exactly which question you're answering. Much easier than, you know, that other platform that we used to do it on. So That brings us to the end of that chat today. Hope you found this talk useful and took in some great takeaways. If you want to chat more about this topic, join us on Discord. There's going to be an audio chat about it as well, about some more of our wish list, I believe. Let me confirm that in what she says. The audio chat is going to be on Thursday. For the audio version of this chat, there's a link to the Discord group for you to join that. For any feedback about the podcast or maybe even some corrections on anything that has been shared, please get me on Twitter or on Threads, especially on LinkedIn. If you just search for The Marketing Anu on any of those platforms, you'll be able to find me. It would also be great for all the longstanding and brand new listeners to give the podcast a review. It really helps with the growth strategy and to indicate to other people that it is worth listening to. So yeah, please join us on linktree.com/PPC chat_roundup to leave a rating or review. Quick one can be done on Spotify. Just give like, you know, 4 or 5 in terms of rating on there. And yeah, I will keep banging on about this, especially for the fact that I know that people's minds are turning off to be thinking about Christmas and spending money on Christmas presents. Please save about £17, only £17 for our PPC Live UK event on February the 1st. We are going to be talking about the importance of PPC and SEO working together. We are going to be talking about how to measure paid media in a post-cookies world. You know, the whole cookies being depreciated is still at the forefront of our mind. I feel there's going to be significant movements on how that is done in 2024. So those conversations are going to be important. And we're also going to chat about creating and using demand and supply models in paid search. And that'll be taken on by Byron Tassoni Resch, who is the co-founder of award-winning agency We Discover. And yeah, they've been supporting PPC Live from the beginning, showing up to the event. So really happy to have him grace our stage today. So yeah, just go on PPCLiveUK.com and you'll be able to get a £17 ticket to that event. There's also a new location in the works that is also going to be one of those shard-like, you know, touristic views, amazing views of the city kind of location that I'm trying to actually work on getting and securing very soon. So look out for that. That'll be a great one for a social media post, you know, in terms of all the content that I'm always thinking of. How can I create new content? Well, there's going to be content coming up about where our next location is going to be, and it's going to be an amazing one again. Yeah, so finally, remember, for your campaigns and businesses to glide smoothly, there's a lot of hard work needed beneath the surface. So keep your swans kicking. Bye, and speak to you next week.